Bishop Clufio, thank you for that beautiful message too. It's not about you. He said you can change your position, your location, but your mind is the same. So you can come to church, but you're still crazy in your head. And your mind must be renewed. It must be rewired, reprogrammed to make it work well in your new circumstances. Otherwise, you're just a Christian fornicator or a Christian witch. I mean, if you come to church like that, that's what you become. So the mind really is everything. But as the mind changes, even Mark chapter 9, you know, as the mind changes and we become all those who shook my hand, it's a covenant to be a soul winner, a church planter. I've not forgotten, you. Hey, I hope, cameraman, you recorded it. Thank you. Everybody, you are bound by a contract to try. What did the footballer say? I don't swim too good, but I got to try. You were not here. That's why you're quiet. I don't swim too good, but I got to try. So we are going to try to plant churches. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. We are going to try and grow our churches. And even if there are 10 or 15, tell somebody it's okay. It's a good start. Because that's where I started from. I started from 6. He was my church member. He was 2 years old when the church started. 2 or 3? 2. 2 years old when my church started. I'm his mother church. I'm all he knows, my church. And he's here. He stayed in church as a pastor. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm talking about an ordinary person to start something for God. Hallelujah. Who doesn't have any skills, doesn't have any abilities, just willing to, and thinking that people are perishing, people are dying, just imagining that everybody who dies, where are they going? How many have lost a classmate? You've lost a classmate before. Just a few of you. You've lost a classmate. Where are they now? Or a relative? Or a close friend? Where is that particular person? Not all are in heaven. Some of them were hypocrites. So not all are in heaven. And that is why I am excited about church growth. Because it is diminishing the people who are going to hell. And more of people who we care for are going to heaven. Hallelujah. But what is it? After your mind changes, you are an ordinary person. You can't sing. And it's true. And maybe you can't even preach well. Maybe even the Bible cry, you don't know the Bible much. You know John 3:16. But you don't know John 3:17. You know, just for a test, ask neighbor, what is John 3:17? Just as a test, what is John 3:17? What did he say? How many have embarrassed neighbors? You know, this afternoon, I'm speaking for another short time. But what is it? What is it that will make possible an ordinary, non-super talented, non-super capable non-what? Non-extraordinary. What does that mean? Ordinary. Non and extra cancel out. So yeah, what is it that will make such a person be able to plant a church? I went to start a church, for those who are not here. I went to a town very far from my hometown. It was about, I come from the south, and I went to the north, the far north, to plant a church. There was nothing. I said the first meeting was myself, my wife's sister, and my three sons, and a house help. That was the first church. It was like that for a couple of weeks, you know. Oh yeah. But it changed over the years. It changed gradually until it became a number of churches and a beautiful work of God that is still standing. Even though I've left the place and gone to another part of the country, it's still standing. God has been good to us. But what is it that made it possible for that thing to happen? And this afternoon, I want to begin to talk about the anointing. The anointing. Because that's the only way. That's the only way an ordinary man can do such things. For those who, I watch superhero movies. How many are like me? Superhero movies. That's all I watch. I don't watch romance. I don't watch any of those things. They're all lying to us. But superhero movies, they are bigger lies. I have two favorite characters. Batman and Iron Man. Batman and Iron Man. And do you know why I like these characters? Unlike Superman, who was born special. Unlike the Flash, who can run special. Unlike Spider-Man, who also can fire webs from this. These two men, Batman and Iron Man, they are ordinary men. They are ordinary men. One crowd has a heart deficiency. They are ordinary men, but they have been able to do extraordinary things by virtue of help. Their help is money. The two of them, they are very rich. Their help is money. So these ordinary men, I mean, Batman, if you watch Batman, just gimmicks. Smoke bombs and things he throws around. That's all. Iron Man, he just made a suit that he wears and then he fights everybody. It's just ordinary men. But they have done super ordinary, super, super extraordinary things by virtue of the help that they have from their resources. And so we too, for us to even to begin to make a dent in the work that must be done, you need extraordinary supernatural help. Mark chapter 9 and verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him and foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. This is a child who was unwell. And this is the key part. And I spake, it says in other places, I brought him to your disciples that they should cast him out. And they could not. And they could not. They could not do what Jesus was doing and would have done. You know, this afternoon, I want you to know that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. he came to demolish all the works of the enemy. And he has sent us out in like manner. But many of us may not be able to do what he wants us to do. He has sent us. This is what he wants to do. And he is God. And he has done it himself. He has shown us how he's doing it. And he has sent us out to do the same. But some of us may not be able to do it because we don't have the power and the ability that he had. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, it says that how God anointed Jesus. That's what it says. God, and see, we are talking this afternoon about the anointing. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost or Spirit, Holy Ghost, and with power. This is the key scripture to understand the anointing. It is the Holy Ghost. And when he comes, power comes with him into our lives. Because without him, you can do nothing. Without him, you can do nothing. And that is why Jesus, you see, Jesus, he said, I don't leave you as orphans. One of the, before we leave, I hope to get a chance to talk about this one. But an orphan is in a very difficult situation. An orphan. For an orphan, what is normal or easily done by other children, for you is a challenge. Many would struggle. I mean, many would struggle if there's no one helping you. Many would struggle to get even basic things. And so Jesus said, I don't leave you as orphans, somebody who is helpless. Try to do things on your own. You see, many of us have been helped, but you don't recognize it. We have been helped tremendously by our circumstances. I mean, it is impossible for me to say anything without Bishop Dag. I mean, to say he has helped me is even to be unkind and to be stingy with credits. He has practically made me. If I was a pharmacist, Apostle, would you invite me here? You wouldn't even know me. Yeah, not at all. I mean, tell somebody how. Who cares about a pharmacist to come and start? Who cares about a pharmacist? But we are important too. But you see, here, we mean nothing. So when I say he has made me what I am today. And that's why this afternoon I'm talking about the anointing. If you're going to plant a church, if you're going to try to do something without the anointing, without the power of God, hey, better go home. I said, you better go home. You are going to try to win souls. You're going to try to. That's why Jesus said this thing. Acts chapter 1. And being, verse 4, and being assembled together, commanded them. Remember Acts, Matthew 28, he said, wait. He said, go. Go out. Now he's saying, don't go, wait. No. I mean, somebody was going, he said, hey, you are going where? Silly, sit down. Don't go. You are going. But wait for the promise of the Father, which he says ye have heard of me. Why? Because in verse 8 he says, but ye shall receive power. Someone say power. No, this is a very powerless power. Say power.
Power.
It's better. You will receive power when, after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and then ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. That is the big to try to do this. Tell somebody, look, I advise you, if you don't have power, go and unshake your hand and go home. If you don't have power, go and unshake. I don't know how to unshake. You have to be back to back. And go back home, because you are destined to fail. Oh yes. You are destined to fail. To go out and try to build a church, plant a church. I don't care how big you are. I don't care how solid, thick, tall, or whatever it is. That was my worry in my school days. No. You will fail without the power of God. Now. And Ephesians chapter 5. In these last days, these are the last days. How do I know? Evil has multiplied, more earthquakes, more wars. There was a war here. Now Israel war is expanding. These are the last days. Tell somebody, don't doubt it. And last days, they've been last for a long time. So they are very last now. The last of the last. They are very last. It's ending. Believe me, it's ending. I mean, you see, like Noah's Ark, where eating and drinking and marrying and being married, that's what Bishop said. Up until the last. So we are also, you can't believe, as I sit here, there's virtually nobody who is half expecting Jesus to come. No, there's nobody. Except Apostle, maybe. The rest of you are waiting to marry. They are waiting to marry and have children, drive a Mercedes Benz. Many of us here, we have other ambitions. But I don't think there's more than one of us, maybe one and a half of us, who is mindful of the word Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. You don't know the word Maranatha? Come Lord Jesus. That there could be a power in the sky and one day he's coming. You don't think about it. Yeah, these are the last days. And the sign of the last days is wickedness. Wickedness. An increase of evil in every form and shape and size. I don't need to tell you stories. Our country have enough bad stories of crime and murder and attack. Some of the crimes I read about, they are so senseless that you think that you know that there's an evil spirit behind it. Yeah, some of the things that the days are evil. Amen. And that is why much of what we are trying to do, we meet strong opposition. The evil powers that are released in this generation, there are more. When I was a child, when I was a bit younger than him. Pornography has been around for a long time. It didn't just come. It was there in my school days. In my school days, pornography was the reserve of specially bad boys. Especially bad boys. It came in the form of magazines with pictures. That was highly contraband. Very well hidden. And if ever one person got it, he would call only his closest friends. I don't know why you're laughing. Come and see. And then they will gather. Two or three of them, four of them, open the magazine and they are looking. And if anybody is coming, they close it and cover it. Nobody, I mean, you can't, they cover it. And then as you are coming, they just, what do you want? And then when you are gone, then they continue. Magazine is very difficult to get. That was my younger days. Now, it's everywhere. Almost every phone. I'm sure there are some here too. They are here. Some are, oh, I'm sure. Some are here. Pornography, if you like, take your neighbor's phone and say, let me check. You will find a passworded area where you can't enter. You need a password or a PIN number to enter that area of the phone. Ask him, excuse me, please. Why is this area out of bounds? It has pressed his way. Now you don't look for it. It comes chasing you. One day, I was in my office at church, and we had a desktop. Apostle. And then one day, I heard, hey! So I said, what is it? He said, there's a problem here. So I went to the office to see what was the problem. There on the desktop was a girl. I said, hey, what are you doing having girls in church? He said, it's not me. It came. I said, delete. Quickly, delete, delete. So he pressed delete. Pew. The thing went away. I said, it's gone. No, it's back again. Another picture of a new girl. Pew. Hey! I said, delete. So he deleted. And then when it went away, then pew, a new one has come. Hey! A virus has entered our computer. The screensaver was girls posing in underwear or nowhere. I said, we are a church. We can't have this. Find anybody, somebody to remove this thing. They had to reformat the whole machine or something. I mean, all I'm saying is evil. It's pressing in on us. And you see, we are the best of the good. Because you, when something like that comes to you, you say, hey, then try to delete it. Another person will say, what is this? Let me look well. Another person. No. I don't know why. Another person will be intrigued. Say, hey, what else is there? What else is that? Is the season in which we live. That these are the times we live in. In my time, I mean, cocaine and those things. No. It was an American problem. We had never seen or heard of. Only weed was the biggest drug that we ever had to deal with. And that one too just the baddest of the bad were we smokers. The other ones were just smoking cigarettes. Darker. Yeah. But no, now evil has multiplied. I mean, I don't know how else to tell you that the world is a bad place. Yeah. And he said the days, Ephesians, did I tell you, Ephesians 5, 16, the days are evil. That's the world we live in. That's the world we live in. And many, many souls, many young people, I don't know about here, but many young people in my country are into the occult. Is it here too? When my eldest son, his big brother, went to secondary school, that is, he was 13, 14. What is secondary school? High school. High school. His first day, you know, when he went to high school, I took him to school and then I dropped him at the school. And then they had a PTA meeting. And I said, I'll never come again. So let me go to this first PTA meeting. So I went to school, 13-year-old boys, the first PTA meeting we had. And the headmaster said, warn your children not to go to look for the juju men and the witchcraft people. And I said, these are 13-year-old boys. What kind of warning is this? He said, that's the situation. It is so common now. Everybody is into, maybe not here, local medicine and juju, witchcraft, sangomaism. Not too long ago, I was in church when one of my little children, they said that let's pray for her. Is that she? Let's pray for her. Why? Because they went to the riverside to call spirits. And they said, oh, we are just joking. That's not, it's not a joke. They went to the riverside to do some incantations and she followed some guys. And when they went, you know what happened? The spirit came. Then they ran away. But you can't run away. And it followed them. So now she was seeing things in her house. I said, next time go and call spirits and see. This is the generation we are preaching to. These are the young men. And some of them, they look totally innocent. You can't. I'm looking for an innocent face here. There are too many of them. If I choose one, I have a problem. Why did I choose you? Innocent faces. But they have dabbled into almost everything before. Both boys and both girls and both spirits. Innocent faces. That is, you see, that is what we are dealing with. Who is very strong? I need a very strong person. Is there a very strong person here? You are strong. Are you strong? Come. You are strong. Very strong. The strongest so far. Cameraman, camera lady, I need you. Come. Leave your camera and come before I get a bill. No, let's be serious. Please come. I need to borrow somebody's phone. No, let me borrow my, this one too. I don't want a bill. Hold it. How can this young lady ever take the phone from this man? Let's advise her. How? Attack him. Attack him and Get the phone from him. Listen, go attack him. Get the phone from him. You won't try. I mean, okay, this phone is my gift to you. I love you so much that I'm giving you the phone. It's yours. You can have it. Take it, one. Take it, two. How many are betting she will win? How many are betting? How many are hoping? No one is betting. No, where are your friends? Can they support you? Where are your friends to bet on you that you win? Nobody. Supposing I get another girl like her, will it help? Another girl like you, will it help? I don't think it will make any difference, because you see, he's not fighting back, he's just holding you off. If I say you are finished, if I say Charlie, you may die and leave the phone behind. This is what we are trying to do. We are trying to plunder the strong man's house without first binding him. You want to take this phone from this guy? When you see him, say bye-bye, keep it. I don't like the phone again. I'll go and buy a new one. And say, brother, keep the phone. I'm going to my camera. There is virtually zero chance that this young lady can ever get the phone from this guy. And what happens is she'll try, then give up and say there's no point. The phone now is not working. The phone is spot. Then you have an excuse. Yeah, no, it's a non-starter. Thank you very much. Yes. Without the power of God, forget it. Forget it. Without God's help, forget it. One of our bishops, he's a prophet, and he was telling me that this year he's had so many attacks. And he said these attacks come when he goes to preach in other places, because it stirs up the evil powers that are there. So I was asking him, he said he has been fighting. I was asking him, are there spiritual fights or physical fights? He said sometimes he's not sure himself, because he was awake when spirits walk into his room. He was awake, and they came in and they fought. So I asked him, was it a physical fight, or what kind of fight is this fight? He said honestly, he wasn't asleep. I hope you're understanding. You see, I want us to appreciate the world in which we live in is an evil place where many are dabbling into witchcraft. Many, many years ago, a young lady came to stay with us. She was about 8, 9, or 10. And when she came to our house, she came to live with us. And then my house, we all go to church. Everybody, dog, cats, everybody. And she went to church. And at the first church convention we had, there was a manifestation. She fell down, rolled, and then we prayed for her, and demon cast out, then it was gone. Then the second convention, the same thing happened again. Hey, And the third convention. So it's like there's something battling with this young lady. Until one day another bishop came to my house, came to have a program. And as he prayed for her, you see, how did it start? One day, we were home, and this young lady went to school. When she came back from school, she just came back from school very normal. But when she opened the door to the house, then she began talking. Why are you worrying me? What's all this? What's going on? Can't I be free to do what I want to do? I said, hey, who's talking? And to whom? And that's when we began to notice the manifestation stream programs. To tell you briefly, the girl was not willing to be delivered. No. So we said, then you see, this senior told me that whenever she's delivered in a service, then she goes out, then she calls them back. And they come back because they're all familiar friends. And then they are with her. So she could see spirit world and other people. You see, all I'm saying is that the world we live in is such that ordinary words, ordinary saying scripture, God loves you, come to church, be born again, those ordinary things are not going to work much more, because we are facing a superior evil. In these days are bad days. Yeah, I mean, we are up against fights that you can't imagine. And this is why there is so many of us don't try very hard to do soul winning, or you do soul winning, it doesn't seem to go very far, and you win a soul, then you lose the soul, and then our determined efforts to be soul winners are diminished, because you are fighting a superior enemy. And that is why, if there is no anointing, it's not gonna work very well. And very soon you'll become tired, discouraged, frustrated. You are wondering that, oh, this thing called soul winning evangelism, let's leave it to the gurus. There are some gurus. I told you, there are those who are super talented. We are the ordinary ones. Those who are talented, who are gifted with things, let's leave it to them. Because we, the ordinary ones, there's no hope. There's no chance. We cannot make this thing work. Let's just be happy in church and come and sit down peacefully and do that. But when you have that mindset, you rob us of a large portion of our workforce, and you make the work of the few so very, very, very difficult. And suddenly they are doing everything, and the churches were growing at a much slower pace. And that is why this morning I said every one of us should be 30 new churches are blowing out of this conference. New, and they may be small. They may be small churches, but it doesn't matter, because they will grow. My church was small. We were five. In fact, it was my family fellowship. You could call it family altar. Yeah, because this is the church. It was just us. But it grew. Yours too will grow. I said, yours too will grow. Amen. But we need the anointing. Without the anointing, it will not work. Very often, when we talk about the anointing, most church members switch off. They say it doesn't concern us. Because let the pastors and those who are serious get the anointing. But we are ordinary church members. We don't need the anointing. So many of us are not even interested. The anointing, it is the power of, you see, I mean, what Bishop Clifford shared this afternoon also, this morning. He said, God is interested in all your life and everything will work. You'll be amazed as you start working for God. Church planting, church building, that other areas of your life that were not working will begin to work. You'll be amazed. The anointing, the power of God. The power of God. It is helpful in every area of your life. I can tell you so many stories about God's power coming to manifest itself in our lives. We need it. I want us this afternoon, all those who shook my hand especially, that listen, let us start a project called I Must Be Anointed. I Must Be Anointed. Let us start a project. Amen. One day, I was asking myself, am I anointed? Yeah, I was asking myself. And I was just thinking. And I was asking God, Lord, show me the sign. I mean, I asked God, am I anointed? And sometimes when I ask silly questions, you get no answer. That's your answer. So I said, show me. Then he said, the greatest sign of my anointing is in Luke chapter 4, where he said, I have anointed you to preach the gospel to the poor. I said, Lord, I thought you'd tell me that you gave me power to raise the dead, heal the sick. He said, no. That's the power I gave you, to preach the gospel to the poor. And yeah. And you see, this is the opening statement that the Lord used himself. Anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And thereafter, I began to see many other signs of the anointing, the power of God in my life. Today, I'm a very ordinary person. Apostle, I promise you, I'm a very ordinary person. But I have been privileged to walk in some of the fantastic places an ordinary person shouldn't be there. It is the working for God and the power of God that has made it possible. This evening, I want us to start a project of seeking the anointing. Seeking the anointing. Something which every one of us, and you see the anointing, prophet says it. It is a very precious thing. It is the Holy Spirit. It's not something which we give away lightly. But it is available. It is to be given. The anointing. When I was thinking how I became mine from following my prophets, from listening to his words, from believing. I'll talk more about this maybe tomorrow, but that is how it came. An ordinary pharmacist, able to plant so many churches, able to walk into so many places, able to, so many things have crossed my path. It is the anointing. Amen. And how it came. Listen, let me just say one thing. The anointing, this is a church, I told you, it's a church growth conference. So our focus is how this thing would make us better suited to be church growth people. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, said, arise and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went and met a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great price, authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah. And the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. What is this passage telling us? Just two things. One, evangelism, soul winning, church planting, it will be by the help of God. It will be by the help of God. When, you see, I remember some time ago when we were discussing church planting or planting churches, I made a mistake. And I said, oh, but church planting is easy. It's easy. I mean, just gather people, send them to a village, find a room, start a church, and it's a church. I thought it was easy. But it was later on that I understood the grace of God that had kept us in those early years and made us very successful in our church planting. And I can now look and see that God, those early churches, most often it will be go here, go there, go now, do this. And I mean it is now that I look back to see the patterns. Let me confess one thing. Church is for confessions. Let me confess one thing. Me, I love God very much. Me, I believe in God very much. I've told my wife, she has no competition with any human being. But with God, she has lost. No. She has lost. There's no hope. I told her, if I think I hear God say anything, I'll do it. I'm not sure, but I'll do it and be wrong. They'll come and apologize. No, I'm trying to help us to become church planters and to make something good of your life. Jesus never imagined your wedding as any great occasion. I mean, he never imagined you driving a Range Rover Black as something achievable. I don't think he ever dreamt that when I see you and then I see your future, I see a black Range Rover. I don't think that was what he was seeing. He was seeing you as a soul winner. As a soul winner. Yes. So now, if that is true, how to let that thing materialize? If that is true, what Jesus did see us, how to let it materialize? It is by the power of God. Because alone, you cannot do this thing. Alone. You come back frustrated. You come back disappointed. You come back saying this thing doesn't work. But it works. But it really works. And I want us... my aim this evening is that every single person here will decide, I want the anointing. The truth is, some of us who are here, we have never considered it. Doesn't concern us. I mean, imagine me. They are playing football. Manchester against who? Arsenal. And they are playing football on the screen here. And I'm here. I promise you, it doesn't concern me. I don't care who... Manchester against Arsenal, I don't care who wins. I have classmates who are dying. They will tell somebody, you have not eaten, eh? Manchester. I mean, some of my classmates, it's like, today I couldn't eat well. Why? My team lost. Over football. And the money, they won't give you some too. No. It doesn't concern me at all. I have no... There's nothing... What did Jesus say? The peace of this world cometh. But he has nothing in me. There's nothing in me about football or... No, nothing. You too. There is nothing in you that is anointing minded. Formally. But the anointing means nothing to you. No desire, no thought. It doesn't stir any emotions. I mean, this afternoon when they sang Hosanna in the highest, it touched my heart. It really touched my heart. I had to say I won't cry. Because it's a song that means so much to me. But some of us who are here, anointing.
You say what? You say, anointing. What is that?
But that was before. And you say, oh, how do I get it? Relax. How to get the anointing? You are in the right place. I said, you are in the right place. Oh. I mean, Prophet told us, you cannot make a person who is not thirsty drink water. No. He will only drink one glass, then he'll put it down. There must be a thirst and understanding. That is my attempt this evening. That everybody here will somehow decide that I need the anointing. Maybe you are a singer, you are an usher, you are a church member, whatever you are, just decide, I need the anointing too. Especially those who shook my hand. Hey, you can't unshake. No. You can't unshake. We are committed. But the only way you can escape this commitment and discharge it is by the power of God. the help of God. When you have that help of God, you'll be amazed at how easy it is. I try, honestly, many things, they are easy for me. I don't know how it is. I don't struggle to most things. And I think it's just a grace of God. It's just a grace of God. But I'm here this evening to lead us into this grace. And it's by the anointing. By the anointing. Do you want the anointing? I want one person this evening. We have not yet shown you how to get it. Don't worry. There must be a desire before it comes. I want one person to shout, I want it. I want one person. Tell anybody, shut up. I want one person. You see, some people like show, and they'll just join the crowd and flow with their people and look good. I want to look good. I was once concerned about looking good. Do you know I've gone to the gym before to do bodybuilding? You don't know. I went to the gym to do bodybuilding. Apostle, I was trying to put on muscles. It didn't work. It didn't work. And I said, I will take me as I am. But this evening, I'm looking for one person who will say, I want the anointing. I need it. Without it, it's useless. I mean, success in what? Without the power of God, with all the devils fighting you, all the evil out there, all the challenges, plus your own family, plus the economy, plus all the politics in the world. I want somebody. No, you see, we are in church. Church, we've stopped lying. You can lie small outside. No one can stop. But here, under this covering, in the apostles' presence, you cannot tell lies again. I want somebody who is serious. I mean, don't look at your neighbor and say, have you seen me? Have you seen me? No, not your neighbor. Your neighbor doesn't, he may die before you. Tell him, give you a fine burial. Don't worry. But I want somebody who, for myself, up until now, I've not been anointing minded, but it is coming. I am now anointing conscious. I need it. Without it, there's no work ahead of me. This church enlargement without anointing, Apostle, will be going in circles. We'll go and come and go and come, have meeting after meeting, and then we'll see little results. One step forward, one step backward, one step forward, one step backward, and we are at the same level for years. But it's changing. But it's changing. And the power of God is going to be released in lives. I was an unassuming person who just went out in obedience. But I believed in God deeply, seriously. I really did. I really do. Oh yes, that one day I do. God is real, very real to me. And that is why He helps me. But this evening, you too, your help is coming. Your help is coming. Your help is coming. Only God can help you. And that help is coming. And my prayer is one this evening. Lord, see the hearts of your children who are here this evening. Lord, see those who this evening, maybe before they came here, we didn't care too much. Before they came here, it didn't concern them. They were busy about their lives, busy about success, about money, about promotion. Before they came here, they had other agenda. But Lord, tonight, we are changing our minds. We are changing our thoughts. We are changing our aims and our way of living our lives. And now, I need the anointing. I need the Holy Spirit. I need the power of God. I want God to be with me. I want God to go with me. I want God to be in my mind, in my heart. I want to be God-minded. I want to be always thinking of God and His what He wants for me. I want God to be real, not imaginary headmaster standing somewhere waiting to judge me. Not somebody marking my time. I want God to be my best friend, my colleague, my super close friend, to walk with me every morning, every afternoon, every evening, everywhere I turn, everywhere I go, whatever I do. I want God to be with me. That I'll live to sincerely, shandede bakataya, sincerely to please Him, sincerely from the bottom of my heart. Shandede bakataya ndede. I want God to be somebody who I'm mindful about. I am mindful. I am thinking about. I am God conscious. I don't care too much about many things any longer. I don't care too much about my future, about my life, when I die, because those things are just passing. I have no control. I want God to become important to me. And this morning, this afternoon, here I am. I want you, Lord, touch those hearts. Touch those hearts. Anyone who sincerely says, I want to love God more. I want to follow God. I want to go. I thirst for Him. I hunger for Him. I want to be with Him. I want to please Him. I want God to be happy with me. I want to do what He says. I don't care any longer so much about my own comfort. I don't care so much about where I am living, where I am going, my prosperity. It doesn't matter so much. My future doesn't matter so much. My house, my car, whatever I have, it doesn't matter so much. So long as I can please God, so long as I can obey God, I can do what He says. I can go out, and with God on my side, I will succeed. It will work. I want Lord to touch all those hearts, every single person who is getting that sincere desire. Lord, touch that heart and turn that person into a super agent, into a superhero, into a general, a great man who will go out and do exploits. That person will go out from here and turn many sons to righteousness. That one will go out from here like a man on a mission, a missile sent out, self-motivated, self-guided, to do what God wants. And as he goes, he will come back yielding much fruit, because we go out from today, we go out by the power of God. We go out under the anointing, the cover of God. From today, we go from here, from this place, no longer under my own power, under my own covering, under my own strength, but we go from here, the power of God, guiding us, leading us, showing us what to do, what to say. And by every account, we'll come back rejoicing. Maybe 10, maybe 20, maybe 50. Let God be the marking scheme. We just go out and we do our best. And Lord, thank you so, so very much. And as we go, we shall definitely come back rejoicing. We shall definitely, as we go under the power, the covering of the Holy Ghost, as we go like that, we shall come back amazed at the success we are bringing, the souls we have touched, lives we have changed, churches we have planted, and then there'll be a celebration as to the goodness of God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so very much for every person here this afternoon. Thank you for what you are doing. Bless, bless us. Bless us. Thank you for the apostle. Thank you for the anointing on his life. Let that anointing on the apostle's life drip down, drip down, drip down into every life. Let it spread like a wave. Let it run. Let it run. Let it run down like a rain throughout this house. Throughout this house. Let none be affected, unaffected. Let none be immunized. Let us all be afflicted by the virus of the anointing on the apostle's life. And let it change us and change us and change us into many apostles. Many, many apostles going all out everywhere, doing similar things, and bringing forth much fruits to the glory of God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.